the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
A.W. Tozer, who is an author that we reference a lot of times on Exploring the Word, A.W. Tozer once said, quote, "The goodness of God is infinitely more wonderful than we will ever be able to comprehend." Well, I agree with that, and I welcome you to the program. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. This is Exploring the Word. And Bert, we're going to look at a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 11. This is not live. If you're hearing this program, it means that Bert and I are probably on the road somewhere in the Western Hemisphere preaching the gospel. But isn't it good that we can pre-record even when you and I are out traveling? I think this is the program that the Lord wanted people to hear, don't you?
I agree. And, you know, God controls a lot of things. And one of the things he does, calendars are in his hands. In the fullness of time, Jesus came and was born. That was purposeful. We find out on the day of Pentecost, that special day, the Holy Spirit of God came. We find out God's timing is impeccable. On things such as this, I agree, there's someone who needs to hear this. We're praying that it would bless them, Alec.
You know, I think it's important to remember all that we have in the Lord. One time, Charles Spurgeon said, "Remember the goodness of God during the frost of adversity." We're living in a time, Bert, even as you and I were prepping for the show, I was reading about persecution of Christians in America. Thankfully, we're not persecuted to the level that a lot of the church is in some parts of the world, like in the Middle East. But there really is cancel culture and censorship. In fact, you and I have written two books, and I don't know if I told you this, but our most recent book was turned down from being on one of the ebook platforms because they said it was too controversial. Our books are not controversial. In fact, I think our books are pretty pastoral and encouraging. But there is kind of an implied persecution. And very often, I think Christians, they're thinking, you know, God, the world is just not fair. The world is unjust. God, are you taking note of all this? Well, Jeremiah 11:20 is a reminder that God is in control. And what we want to do in this show, we want to challenge the listeners, and I think we're challenging ourselves, to think about, to meditate upon all that we have in our relationship with God. Because God is good, God is all-powerful, God is loving. The prophet Jeremiah needed reminding about some of the key things about God and God's nature. In every generation, we need to keep our eyes focused on the truths about God and not the adversity of the moment.
If you read about Jeremiah, these were not the best of times for him as well. Persecution was following him. Disappointment was going to be a part of his life. And he was going to have to redo some things. Matter of fact, because the world rejected him and even destroyed some of that he had made. But God is standing strong, and we stand with him. That's what's amazing. It is with him we stand. It is with him we walk. That is the whole idea. We go forward. We stay. We stop. It is according to his direction, and that's what we're to follow. This one verse in Jeremiah 11:20 expresses it so well, that God is big enough, powerful enough, that we can depend upon him, Alex.
Did you ever hear of Jerry Bridges, who was with the Navigators?
I sure have, yes.
One time he was counseling and speaking at an event. The subject was really depression and sadness and discontentment. And he said, discontentment is questioning the goodness of God. And I think that's a pretty good observation, because I want to read this scripture. Jeremiah, when he was in a deep valley, here's what went through his mind. He said, and it was obviously given by the Holy Spirit because it's part of the scripture. But Jeremiah 11:20 says, "But you, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause." Now, what we're going to do, folks, out of this one scripture is pull out five, probably more than five, but at least five things about God that are a comfort to Christians and things that we know about the character and the nature and the work of God. But Bert, before we get there, and I know you as a pastor and as a minister, I mean, we've talked with a lot of people, and I've talked with a lot of people that have gone through a faith crisis. I've talked to some that have just become out-and-out atheists. It's interesting to me, and I want to know if you've ever experienced this, a lot of times people that may have been once fervent Christians, they let doubt creep in and even disobedience and sometimes just unspeakable sin when they question the goodness of God and they almost kind of throw up their hands and say, well, God has abandoned me. In the valleys and certainly also in the times of prosperity, those are times whenever you're in the extremes, extreme of duress and pressure, or an extreme of blessing and prosperity. Those are the times not to look at your circumstances, but to keep your eyes on the truth of God. Am I right?
You are right, Alex, because I have found out, and I found people who agree, there's two big issues that causes this depression. Two big issues causes us to have that dark night of the soul. One is disappointments. Disappointments come, and that's why we as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to be frank with people and say, yes, Jesus will save you. Jesus will deliver you. Jesus will bring you into this great relationship that where he sticks closer than a brother, that he'll see you through. But that does not mean it's a deliverance from difficulty. In this world, you will have difficulty, and I've seen a lot of it happening, that people think they get a bill of sale of bad saying it's good following Jesus, and they follow Jesus thinking everything after this is going to be just great, no problem, smooth sailing. And the first big disappointment that comes along, it throws them into great depression, even the anxiety. And then the other one is broken relationships, Alex. Broken relationships in marriage, in family, in friendship. It can be at work. It can be in a church. And these broken relationships, I've seen people pull away from church because of those two reasons: disappointment in what they thought they were getting in a leader, whoever it may be, a broken relationship with someone. They say, I don't want to go there anymore, and they pull back. And when they pull back like that, they're really not helping themselves. And what you just said, during those times of disappointments, broken relationships, you dwell upon God. Now, if someone has told you God will take care of everything in your life, you won't have any more worries, you won't have any more difficulties, those of you who are listening, if they've told you that, they've sold you a bill of goods that is not true. In this world, you're going to have difficulty. We live in a fallen world, and as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not exempt from living in this fallen world that brings difficulty. So here, what you're just saying is, what do you do to combat those things? You dwell upon the Lord. You meditate upon Him day and night. And so, Alex, what you're sharing here with us today from Jeremiah, and not only just this verse, it's the whole book of Jeremiah, that difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, but God comes and meets him, and he establishes his relationship with Jeremiah, and I would say the Judean, the southern kingdom, and his promise to them. So this is important for us in 2023.
Well, it really is. And Bert, you set this up so well. Have got to ask you, did you ever see that book by Harold Morris called Twice Pardoned?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Maybe you heard him speak. I don't know.
I did. And it was great. Really? The book's good. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and he was a convict. He had served time, and he was really big back in the 80s and the 90s. But, you know, you think about that, he said he was twice pardoned, once by the law of man, but even more importantly by the Savior. And oddly enough, one of the ways to really appreciate all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is to think about the way that we have been pardoned, forgiven, delivered from sin. Bert, I've found that when people forget how great a salvation that they have, I mean, because look, money comes and goes, circumstances change, but the greatest thing we have, the greatest possession or reality in your life is your relationship with Christ. And I hope everyone listening has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you can be sure of it today just by turning to the Lord and asking Him to save your soul. But John Stott, he was a great theologian, John R. Stott said, sin is when human beings substitute themselves for God. But God, in love, substituted Himself for us. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And one of the ways to more deeply appreciate the Savior is to think about the severity of sin. Because, I mean, look, if you have salvation, but you're poor by the world standard, you're still rich, because the greatest riches you'll ever have is a relationship with the true and living God. On the flip side, you could have everything the world says is important, but if you don't have Jesus, it's like Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said that without Christ, we're standing on the gallows with a rope around our neck.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
It is.
And so as we get to this Jeremiah passage, maybe right now you're listening to this program, folks, and maybe you're on the top of the world. Praise God. You've got a job. The bills are paid. You're healthy. You've got a family that loves you. You're a Christian. Maybe you've got everything going your way, and that's great. I rejoice with you. But maybe you're in a hard place like so many people are these days. But we're gonna remember the goodness of God, the power of God, and maybe encourage ourselves to cleave to the Savior and not lapse into the sin of ingratitude or turning away from God as so many people do. Jeremiah says, "You, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause." Now, Bert, that third line about the vengeance of God, we're going to talk about this, and this is something you probably haven't heard preached on before. But one by one, let's talk about the Lord. And the first is His sovereign authority. Now, when we come back, we've got a brief break. We're going to unpack what that means about God. He is the sovereign authority of the universe, isn't He, Bert?
He is the authority, and He is above everyone else. His throne is above all thrones. We'll be back with more right after this break.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. As we go, let us make disciples.
As we go, let us tell the world of Christ. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. That's exactly as we go. That means we're going to have curves. It means we're going to have hills to navigate. We're going to have to get on paths that are kind of straight and narrow and difficult. We're looking at Jeremiah 11:20, and Alex has read that two times. I want to read a passage, Alex, that I think supplements that a lot. You're talking about, you know, dwelling on the things of God. And right, this is well known. It is Psalm 103. And listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And listen to this next line. And forget not all His benefits. There's so many. Now listen to some of them. Who pardons all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. And who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. This is the sovereign God who has authority to pardon you, to heal you, to redeem you, and crown you. Now, that'll preach, Alex.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, that's one of those passages that really just preaches itself.
It does. It really does. You know, it's right there. All you got to do is read it and, you know, expound on it, and you have exactly a lesson, don't you?
Well, you do, and isn't it just a joy when you're reading the Bible and you just see something that is so well laid out? Well, it all is, but some is easier to grasp than others, I suppose.
It is. Let's take this as a teaching moment. What you do with difficult passages, you look at them, but you ask God to direct you, but you use those that are easily understood to help you understand those that are more difficult. There's always a consistency. There's always truth. There's never a issue where they disagree on anything. It's just our understanding. But Alex, you start with like Psalm 103 and mm-hmm. say, don't forget all of his benefits, and it lists those. Listen, that will equip you for the difficult times, just like Jeremiah 11:20 equips you to know that God is going to do that which is right.
Amen. Well, and you know, that's why it's so important to ingest the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. That's 1 John 2:27. But here's the thing, Bert, I believe in order for the Holy Spirit to call up to remembrance, we have to first put it in the old memory bank, don't we?
Well, he said he'd call it to our remembrance. And sometimes, listen, Alex, I admire you. I know you have some abilities that way, but you use those abilities and you work those abilities to have all the knowledge that you do concerning scriptures and finding those scriptures. And many times I know the scripture and I say, okay, now where is that found? But it's there. But the main thing that you want to do is know the scriptures. Know the scriptures. He'll lead you. But you recall them. You bring them up. He'll bring them to your mind. And it. Have you noticed it happens when you need it real bad?
Amen. God does help us, and he gives us that strength just when we need it. Well, in Jeremiah 11:20, before the break, we were talking about God's sovereign authority. And the word sovereign, you know, when Queen Elizabeth passed away a year ago, Queen of England, and the coin with the whether it be the queen or the king, but the leader of the United Kingdom, that coin is called a sovereign, a British sovereign. But now, ultimately, the only truly sovereign being in the universe is God. And in some translations, like the King James, Jeremiah 11:20, it says, "But you, Lord of hosts, judge righteously." Now, the God of hosts, what are the hosts? Well, the angelic hosts, the stars, the creation, the human race. Really, Bert, isn't it a comfort to remember God really is sovereignly in control? Now, that's hard. The way the world is now, the way America is now, there's lawlessness, there's a lot of dishonesty, there's a lot of corruption. We're suffering as a nation. We feel it economically. In fact, a lot of the economic strife is due way on down the chain, corruptions and things like that. But ultimately, Bert, we have every confidence God is in control, and God, he's going to, as Vince Havner would say, one day God's going to iron out all the wrinkles.
Amen. Now, God's sovereignty, in my limited, I would say, expression, is found in Romans 28, where God is able to take all things and he works them for good. All things do not work for good, but God intervention in those things makes it for good. Now, a lot of people, they have a problem with what is good. Well, in America, and let me just be honest, we have had it made as Christians in time past. We have, because of our founding fathers, because of what they laid out, how God had blessed with his providence, the way they talked about it, the founding fathers. Man, what we've had. And now that we're in a squeeze, I still want those privileges. I still want those. They were given by God, and they're being trying to be taken away. But God is able to do good. Now, what is good? I think that's expressed in Romans 8:29. And Alex, that is to be conformed to his image. That's the good part. Now, I want to tell you, guess what being conformed to me. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is exactly what Jeremiah 11:20 is about. It is renewing our mind in who God is, what God does, and what He is going to do. And this is His sovereign power and authority to do so, Alex.
You know, part of the sin and the problems of the world is we misdefine good.
Yes, it is.
Because if you ask somebody, you know, what would be good? What's the highest good? Well, you know, it's like I remember there's a video on YouTube of Woody Allen, yes, the famed film director Woody Allen, interviewed Billy Graham many years ago, the great evangelist Billy Graham. And Woody Allen confessed that he didn't believe in God. And Billy Graham said, well, what would cause you to believe in God? And Woody Allen said, a miracle. Billy Graham said, well, there's been plenty of miracles, the resurrection, the empty tomb. What miracle would convince you that God exists? And Woody Allen just very sarcastically said, well, suddenly for $1 million to appear in my name in a Swiss bank account. You know, and everybody had a good chuckle. But in a way, that really was kind of tragic. We might think, oh, if I had this or if I got that, you know, fill in the blank, that would be good. But God loves us so much to offer us the goodest good, if I could say it that way. Believe it or not, Bert, and many have said this, the good that we prescribe for ourselves is really desire for a lesser good, because we want the things of this world and the flesh. God says, I've got a better good for you,
Amen.
Which is heaven and holiness.
Amen, Alex. That is exactly right. And you were talking about Woody Allen. Recently, we've gone through the book of Acts, and we were in chapter 22, and Paul was sharing his testimony, and then he shared about that God was revealing himself to the Gentiles. He was speaking to a Jewish crowd. I'm talking about a very Jewish crowd, and they just thought that Gentiles were dogs. And then it says, when he said to them, I will send you, and far from here, to the Gentiles. And then in chapter 22, verse 22 of Acts, it says, and they listened to him. They listened to him until this word. In other words, listen, Woody Allen and anybody else, you know, they'll go so far, but they've got their place. Well, okay, I'm not going unless I see a miracle. What is the million? What is the miracle? The $1 million in my Swiss bank account. Listen, the problem is not the miracle. The problem is themselves and their desire to fulfill themselves, and they are thinking they've got the answer when they really are missing the answer, and that is Jesus Christ. And so, Alex, these people that listen so far, and then they stop. Listen, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, and Paul would say, I wish it was more than almost. I wish it was complete, and I'm putting it in my language. But, Alex, it is true. People don't want to believe. It's not because they can't. They don't want to.
Well, you remember in Mark and Matthew, the rich young ruler who went away very sad because he had great possessions. Isn't that something? Don't turn away from the Savior who loves you. Understand that His good is the real good, the authentic good. So God is a sovereign authority. Secondly, out of this verse that we remember, that God exercises righteous judgment. It says, the Lord Almighty who judges righteously. And, you know, not only God judges righteously, but He judges thoroughly. And, Bert, I know on today's issues and on the Hamilton Corner, I have the privilege sometimes to cover politics. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of things about the political landscape of the last few decades that really grieves my heart. But you know what? I have to say, I pray for these people because there's going to be a day when nobody skirts around the law. There's going to be a day when subverting the Constitution will come to an end, and everybody will appear before that most absolute of all judgment bars, the judgment of God. Now, lest we get on a big moral high horse, and I'm preaching it myself here, you know, we all have to humbly bow and say, thank you, God, for having mercy on me, because I'm a guilty sinner too. I'm a forgiven, redeemed, born again, saved sinner. But it is a comfort to know that God is a righteous judge. And I just want to say to everybody, if you've ever watched the evening news and your heart is heavy, as mine frequently is, just remember, God sees it all and God knows it all. And there's not going to be anything that escapes the righteous analysis of a holy God. Bert, that's a good comfort, isn't it, that God is a righteous judge?
It really is. Now, why is he that? It's because of who he is. That's just who he
Amen.
Is. But no, there's two things that really caught my attention when you say that phrase. One is his position. He is in the position to do so. He is that position. He is on the throne. He is authority. And we're talking about sovereign authority. He has authority to judge, Alex. And then the second thing, he has all knowledge. There's nothing hidden from him. He sees in the darkness as well as he does in the light. He sees that which is on the heart. Jesus would say many times, he knew their heart before they even uttered their words. And so he is in that position to do so in this righteous judgment because who he is, where he is, and what he does. This is who he is. And so this righteous judgment will be right. Now, what's the first part of righteous? Right. It will
Amen.
Be right, won't it? It will be right. It won't be
Absolutely.
Wrong. It'll be right.
Well, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, a part of who he is. God is holy, and God is so many things, but God is eternal. And part of the reason that God is eternal is because he is thoroughly, pervasively, 100% holy, pure, righteous. Sin brings death. That's Romans 6:23. And because God is eternal, we can be utterly confident that there is no sin in God. Because if God was mixed with sin or death, he wouldn't be eternal. So he is righteous. And let me say that's a comfort. It's also a warning, because you don't stand before a righteous God and talk your way out of anything or make alibis or excuses. And so, again, we'll say it, if you've never trusted Christ and been saved, then call on his name today and you can be saved. And we encourage you to do that. But we need to remember that God is righteous. The third thing that I think we can draw out of this verse is this. You, Lord Almighty, who judge righteously and test the heart and the mind. Now, your heart, that's really your spirit and your soul, what's in your thoughts, your attitudes, your beliefs, your assumptions, lies you've told that you think nobody knows about, but God knows. God does. The word test, it could be evaluate, scrutinize, analyze. God knows all things. He knows the secrets of every heart of every man, doesn't he, Bert?
He does. And you can't help but remember over in 1 Peter chapter 1, when it's like the silversmith and the goldsmith, and he's going to put the heat to it to judge it, how pure it is, how good it is. And during that, it gets all the impurities out so that, and it is said he puts the heat and gets the impurities out until the assayer sees his face in the gold. Now, God wants that in our lives. So he is patient and he is redeeming. So even in his discipline, And that's a big word. We get the word disciple from that. Even in his discipline, it is redemptive for us, Alex. Even for the lost people, when God permits them to reap the, you know, their results or their actions, he's trying to get their attention and saying, listen, this is the best you can do. You need some help. And that only help comes from me. And so, listen, he is redemptive. He's patient. He is gracious. Alex, we have a gracious God who is holy. What a combination.
Amen. Folks, this is Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so honored that you're listening. We're talking about the comforts we have in knowing who God is. We'll continue after this. It's through this brief break.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio, a ministry of the American Family Association. Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone.
Welcome back to the program. Alex and Bert here. You know, Bert, do you remember this evangelist of years past and hands down the most unique name of any preacher I've ever known, Smith Wigglesworth?
I have. I hadn't even thought about that, but yes.
You know, he once said, if you seek nothing but the will of God, he will always put you in the right place at the right time. And so, you know, I think about that when we talk about God's sovereignty, God's righteousness, God's redemptive patience, you know, and he guides our life. Maybe somebody's listening and you think, well, I've waited too long, I've procrastinated, or decades ago I made a bad decision and I'm irrevocably out of the will of God. No, listen, see, God is so powerful above time, above circumstances, even our own bad decisions that have robbed us of blessing. If you turn to Christ today, right now, and say, dear Jesus, take over my life. Bert, I honestly believe that a sovereign God takes us where we are, as we are. The minute that we hand our life over to Christ, things begin to change, and they change for the better. And we can have every blessing of God. And it's the wisest thing you'll ever do, folks. Please don't lie to yourself and think there's no hope for me. Maybe for the other guy, but not for me. I'm too far gone. You are not. Turn to Jesus. He'll begin to help you, and he'll help you starting right this minute. Bert, I believe that.
Amen. A lot of times when I was growing up in my little church, on Sunday nights, we would have testimony time, and it was a joy for this teenager. I saved at 12, but I was there growing up, stayed in that church until I was 19 and 20 when I started preaching. But on Sunday nights, different pastors even, we'd have testimonial service, and we'd have some people there that were in their 80s, and they would talk about how God had blessed them, saved them as a teenager, and he had been faithful. Then we'd have some men, women stand up, and they said, man, I got saved after a wretched life, but God has forgiven me, and he has done a work in my life that is completely different, and I praise God for that. So, Alex, you're exactly right. Wherever individual is that's listening today, you can come to Christ. Surrender your life to him. There's a number. They're our partners. We're not taking phone calls here for questions, but these people will get your phone call. 888 need him, and they're ready to pray with you. They're ready to talk with you, help you in any way to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I just tell you, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. The pinnacle of all of history is when Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, and rose again. And he's ascended to the Father, ready to make intercession for those that would trust him. I pray you would surrender your life today. You who are listening, you may be driving that truck. You may be in your car headed home. You may be at your desk. You may be in your tractor. Wherever you might be, and you've never trusted Christ, I pray you will today. Alex, he is wanting to redeem us, to bring us out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay, and put our feet on a rock and put a new song in our hearts. That's our Jesus, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. And we always say it, but he's as close by as a prayer. Well, there's God's redemptive patience. But number four, God's moral vengeance. Now, you don't hear this preached about much, but Jeremiah says this, the Lord of hosts judges righteously, tests the heart and the mind, And he says of his enemies, he says, "Let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause." Now, I want to say this, God is merciful, God is forgiving if we repent and turn to him. But I want to say the biblical God, Bert, and I realize you don't hear this preached so much, but God is a God of vengeance. And there's coming a day when, you know, Bert, let me put it this way. I was in a play when I was in high school. Were you ever in a high school play, Bert?
No, I was in our elementary play. Go ahead, man. I got the part of Herman because Herman stuttered, and Miss Velma Strange said, "Bert, just learn the words. You'll take care of the stuttering yourself." And go ahead, though. I want to hear this.
Never knew you'd be on the radio.
most unlikely person in the world. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I was in a high school play, not because drama was my thing. It really wasn't. And I had a line in Fiddler on the Roof, and I didn't want to do it. But the only reason that I got in the play was because that's where all the girls were, you know. Yeah. But the auditorium was dark. We were having rehearsal, and we didn't know it, but there were workers working on the building. This was after school, and our teachers were there, and suddenly all the lights came up and all the action on the stage stopped. Well, I want to tell you, that's how it's going to be with history one day. Mm. And like Bill Gaither said, the marketplace is empty, in the courtroom no debate, for the king has come. Jeremiah reminds us, the Gospels talk about it, there is coming a day when the righteous God will return, and that eastern sky will open up. And just like the lights came on in the previously darkened theater, Christ is coming back. And sin will be punished. Evil will be vanquished. There will be retribution and judgment on a world that not only has turned from God, in many ways hates God. And Bert, we hear plenty about the love of God. Jeremiah reminds us that we need to talk about the justice and the vengeance of God too.
Yeah, that was called hellfire and brimstone preaching back in the day. And the difference is sometimes they sounded like they enjoyed that vengeance. And no, we're not saying that. But if there's moral vengeance, let me put it in another perspective. He's going to make all things right. If he makes all things right, what's he got to do with that which is not right? It must be punished. It must be taken care of. So vengeance is the Lord. I'll repay, saith the Lord. And so, Alex, yes, and I'd remind you, just as he is in that position of righteous judgment in moral vengeance, he's in the position to do so and with the knowledge to do so as well.
Amen. Well, the final thing, God's sovereign authority, God's righteous judgment, God's redemptive patience, God's moral vengeance. But finally, let's remember God's faithful oversight. The prophet ends this verse, he says, "For to you I have committed my cause." Bert, there's so many things we could say, but let's just remind ourselves that we have committed our cause to God. I honestly believe God answers prayer. I honestly believe the millions of people that are praying for America, we have committed our cause. We say, "Lord, we need you. Lord, we have no hope without you. Lord, we ask you to intervene." When you commit your cause to Christ, you're in good hands, and you can put your head on the pillow and sleep well at night because God is faithful, and he will not abandon his children, will he, Bert?
He will not. Now, here's the whole idea. He is faithful oversight. And it reminded you and me, and I think so, of 2 Timothy 2:13. When we are faithless, he remains faithful still, and he cannot deny himself. That's who he is. When I look at these words, sovereign, righteous, redemptive, moral, faithful, these are all the first words of these five things that brings us comfort. It's who God is. He cannot deny himself, Alex. That's, faithlessness is not even in his preview. It's not even close to where he is. He is a faithful God. And so he is oversight. And whom he loves, yes, he chastens, he disciplines. Whom he loves, he brings it through. I love the story about when Jesus told his disciples, get into the boat and go to the other side. Now, they just was looking at the other side, but what lay between the side they were leaving and to the side they were going? Storms. In our life,
yes,
I came to Christ as a 12-year-old. I don't know if I'll be taken by the upper taker or the undertaker, as some preacher has said. But I want to tell you, I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. During this period of time between those, he is faithful, Alex. He is faithful. I want to be faithful to him, but he is faithful even when I'm not.
Well, amen. And, you know, few things in life are as hard as a situation that appears to be hopeless. And, Bert, I don't know about you, but once or twice I've been in the midst of something that really honestly seemed hopeless. And yet God came through. And I know in the future God will come through. We want to say that for everybody listening. We don't know where you are in your journey. And again, like we said, you know, maybe everything is going great right now. Well, praise God and lean in tight to Jesus, because, you know, any one of us is only one phone call away from, you know, our whole apple cart being upset. But the most valuable thing you have is your relationship with God. Bert, I was reading a statistic about how many younger adults don't go to church, really don't think Christianity is still relevant. In other words, a lot of people think God is, the idea of God is just worthless. That's a tragedy. I was reading a story about a man named, I probably can't pronounce this correctly, Hanyecs, I think it is, H-A-N-Y-E-C-S, Laszlo Hanyecs. About 13, 14 years ago, he purchased this new type of stock called Bitcoin. We've all heard of Bitcoin. I know nothing about it, really, so please don't perceive this as any kind of endorsement or thing. I'm just simply, this guy bought about $500 worth of Bitcoin, which was 110,000 units. Well, it went down, and was worth only fractions of a penny, so he used it to buy pizza. He would order pizza, and about six times $150, $175. He used 110,000 bitcoins to order pizza. Well, I looked it up today, Bert. Every one of those units today is worth $29,000. So imagine $29,000 times 110,000. And Forbes magazine wrote an article on this gentleman. If he had kept the Bitcoin, it would be worth $500 million, and at one time, had he kept his Bitcoin, he would have been a billionaire 68 times over. One of the greatest financial losses ever. But what he thought was worthless, Forbes magazine said, was nearly priceless. Well, what's priceless is the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be somebody that assumes that living for the Lord is just not worthwhile. Bert, repenting, believing, obeying, growing, following, trusting, these are the most worthwhile things you could ever, ever do.
And we're asking you who are listening today to make sure that if you've never turned to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, we're asking you to do that today. We're saying that Jesus is worth it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left us crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Only Jesus can do that. Nobody else can fill your life. What's that divine vacuum that's in the center of our lives that only Jesus can fill? It is real, and you can try everything. It sounded like, you know, over in the scriptures, that Song of Solomon tried to fill that vacuum with everything, and he found it was empty, didn't he, Alex?
He really did. My goodness, King Solomon would have been a billionaire, would have been a celebrity, rich, famous. He had money, power, accomplishments, built great architecture. He was intelligent, wrote hundreds and hundreds of proverbs and songs, and yes, had a lot of relationships with a lot of women, but yet he was empty. And you and I have taught through Ecclesiastes, and he turned back to God, and he realized that this world and all the bling of life, as they say, it was just vanity. In other words, emptiness. But with Jesus, there's fullness and satisfaction. Bert, this old hymn says, "I am satisfied with Jesus."
Yes.
That satisfaction, fulfillment, absolute fulfillment, you're not going to find it anywhere.
He is the only one. The yes. Scripture that says, Jesus said it, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Now, Alex, I didn't major in English, and I didn't do very well in it, to be honest. But I found out one thing. I know the difference in an indefinite article and a definite article.
And amen.
Jesus is the definite article. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. There's no plan B. There's nothing else. And so because God is who he is, those of us who are saved, we know Jesus Christ is Savior. We live in a fallen world, but we don't have to stay down in the dumps. We don't have to stay in the pit because he's our sovereign, righteous, redemptive, moral, faithful friend. Let me put it in all of those words. He is that friend that we desperately need. And if you don't know him, I'm praying today you would ask him into your life. Alex, I'm going to remember Jeremiah 11:20. Brother, this is good, brother. Thank you.
Well, to God be the glory. Just remember, the Lord loves you. The Lord is for you. Do yourself a favor and turn to him. This has been Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so glad you're listening. Very grateful for Brent Austin producing the show. And you can listen to this again on AFR.net, as in the American Family Radio Network. Hey, tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.